traumatized for over 37 years. This one is for you. Richmond, yes, Richmond, our premiers. 5:13 p.m. on Saturday, September 30, 2017, is officially Tiger Time.
We never reconcile.
And welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy.
And I think we're going to have another smug episode this week.
Smugger than last week. You know, my view of the game was that much more comfortable about our performance this week than against the Pies. I think we pants the Cats.
Yeah, I think we did too, but we'll talk about that some more. I actually wanted to... Last week we started off in smug fashion talking about the Jack Riewoldt re-signing, which I'm very glad to have happened, but we've had three reported re-signings in the past week with... And another 2 years of Jaden Short, Blake Carosella, and Justin Lepich, respectively. Which, you know, how would you rank those three in order of importance?
Really hard because, well, especially the first two, Nick. You know, I love them both. Mm. I love Shorty. Talked about it a lot, but I don't buy that there's a straight continuum in our coaching strategy between sort of 2015 and 2017. I think there was a monumental step change in our coaching in 2017, and for not definitive evidence, but just a few things that really indicate that Blake Carosella was crucial to that. And Justin Lepich got signed as a head coach by Brisbane for a reason. Brisbane are not an incompetent football team. They hired him for a reason, and the reason is because he's good at coaching. Hmm. And obviously it didn't work out at Brisbane. He was taking on a young team. It was a difficult transition era. But I am completely confident in the fact that Justin Lepich is a very talented assistant coach and had a great deal to do with the development of Alex Rance and Dave Asprey. So very, very happy we've kept both.
Mm, definitely. It's interesting to think about, and in thinking about Blake Carosella and whether or not he wants to be a senior coach, because, I mean, of course, all these guys are ambitious, because they wouldn't have got where they have otherwise, but if you look at how relaxed and comfortable Justin Lepich is, how little media he has to do, what gentle media it is that he does do... Yep. It really looks like he's enjoying life. Now, he doesn't have as much authority and he's not earning as much money, but there's a definite trade-off there.
There is. Now, Blake Carosella is obviously self-aware enough, and I've heard this from, I think we've all heard it, and, you know, it's common knowledge that he doesn't want to be a senior coach.
When was the last time you remember him being interviewed?
I don't know, but does he put himself up? Because, I mean, his CV is superb.
Well, I was just thinking, Xavier Clark's interviewed regularly.
On the media?
Yeah.
He does do sort of spot interviews. He does just enough.
But it's pretty occasional. It's a pretty light load.
Yeah, it's just enough so you don't mention the fact that he's not on the media. He's actually on the club website this week, but... For whatever reason, he's decided that he's got different priorities in life and he doesn't want to be the front of a team. And
at this stage.
Yeah, but, I mean, you know, let's face it. He, after being a senior assistant coach at two different premiership clubs, especially one that magically turned itself around the year that he arrived. Now, like, prima facie, as you've said before on the podcast, it's always hard to judge the jobs what assistant coaches are doing, but sort of from what you're going to observe by empirical evidence, he looks pretty good. You know, if I was starting an AFL team tomorrow, I would have him. I'd actually have him the first. He'd be the first person I'd want to interview. But for whatever reason, it's not his priority. And he signed up for another 2 years. And, you know, thank God for the football department cap, which stops other people, you know, offering to double his salary. So he can assist it somewhere else. I guess it's stopping us doubling his salary too. I love Jaden Short, but I'm probably even more happy we kept Blake Carousel.
And 2 years for him and Lepic really sort of keeps the core of the coaching team forever, because we've already lost quite a few sort of off-field guys already, including Kane Liddell and Dan Richardson. So it's sort of, you know, nice to have a bit of continuity.
And there was a rumour in the paper that the AFL tried to steal Blair Hartley as well.
Yep.
It's amazing the difference, isn't it? Because, you know, if it wasn't for 1 year, football's such a funny industry. A lot of those guys, if 2017 had gone badly, would have really struggled to get another job. And now suddenly, you know, Dan Richards and Blair Hartley can write their own check, which is, by the way, fantastic and a great sign of a strong club.
So, back to the game.
Long digression.
Enjoyable one, nonetheless. It was an unusual game because we've talked before, our last quarters are fantastic. Our first quarters are very good as well. Our last quarters are the best quarter any team in the AFL has. Our first quarters are the fourth best quarter any team in the AFL has.
Interesting.
But we're not particularly good at third quarters, but come home with a rush. But instead this week we kind of pounded away for almost the whole of the third quarter, dominating the play without putting them away, and it was a different look.
Yeah, I've never been 100% convinced that our last quarters, you know, in the last 10 minutes that we're always guaranteed to run over teams. But, you know, this stuff does happen. You know, they got on a run late. And it's funny, only a hipster statistical podcast could say we won easily when the other team had a shot to win within 60 seconds. Like, that's a very nerd hot take. You won't hear that from other places. But, you know, it's the plus 23 inside 50s, which is a product of our dominance in the third quarter and other parts of the game, is what makes us say that. It was a different take, but that it's always going to be there. And to their credit, you know, Geelong, they played attacking football. They went down long and direct down the middle, and they challenged our key backs. And they got quality entries, and, you know, in fairness to them, they actually missed some gettable shots at times.
I think we certainly had them covered in that category, though.
Yeah, but, I mean, you know, in fairness, you always feel that way. But, bottom line is we did actually – there were periods of that game where I can't remember us being so dominant against the top eight team.
They did. They defended well. Like, Blitzarts had an incredible number of spoils, and I did think we tried to overshare a bit rather than just at times in wet conditions just kicking the goal rather than faffing about so much. The quality. I think they finished better than we did. Which is always one of those challenging things, but yeah, I would have hated it if we'd lost, if only because making Chris Scott unhappy is one of my favourite things in the world.
Yeah, and I mean, there was definitely a scenario where we lost that game. They did miss some gettable shots, but. Chris Scott sort of talking afterwards about, oh, they're beatable and. Monday AFL, majority of premiership winners in the modern era do lose a significant amount of games. You know, there haven't been many dominant teams in the last 10 years.
Super dominant, yeah. They've, yeah. There've been some extremely good teams, but not the, like, a, you know, you just remember the Carlton in 1995 was just head and shoulders above everyone else.
Well, yeah. isn't it in 2001 statistically the best team of all time, according to something I read? Yeah, but
that's true.
And, you know, there's been a couple, like, the best Hawks teams were very good, but, yeah, it's just we are as good teams generally get in the modern era.
Mm. Yeah, except the top team doesn't always win. That's plaguing me a lot. That's plaguing me a lot at the moment.
And that was the worst thing. That was the moment of terror I had it after the game was the, we are really, really good, and it's now just going to be a missed opportunity. It's going to hurt so much if we don't win. But happens, as you say, all the time that a team as good as us don't win.
On the current betting odds, we are a one-third chance to win the flag.
Yep. So more likely not to win it than winners. Yeah. We are by far the best team.
Yeah, yeah. No other team is rated as having a better than 10% chance, but there's lots of teams with a 10% chance. Mm. Who did you like?
One thing I was really happy about the game is when you look at the advanced stats. So Cochin, you know, not dominant in a traditional statistical method, and only, you know, in the end had sort of 20 disposal. I'm not even what his raw disposal count is, but. According to the AFL rankings, was our second best player and would have had the best pressure acts for the year if we didn't have a guy called Jack Graham playing for us. I mean, his defence, that running goal he kicked early on, it was just, I loved Koch's game and I loved it for the captain's effort that it was all about sort of modern Richmond and it was a hard grafting. It wasn't your 40 possessions, but it wins football games.
I really enjoyed how much he tried to just physically dominate his opponents. I love Cochin when he's in that type of mood. And I think Geelong brings it out of him as well.
Yeah, good point. Like, I mean, when was the last time when you could say Koch was in such a definitive alpha male mode? And it probably was the last Geelong final.
Mm, yeah, deeply satisfying. What? I thought there was so much nonsense talked about Rance and Hawkins before the game, and you know Dimmer did exactly what Dimmer does, was maintain a very effective structure. But yeah, and they both had their moments. But yeah, Hawkins had one goal.
Yeah. So. You know, it's hard to definitively pin down because in matchups in modern AFL because they move so much. But the AFL did do a nice little highlights videos of their contests. And my favourite bits is the bits where it looks like Alex Rance was leading to the ball. not, and that happened more than once. He kept the in-form forward in the AFL to one goal, as you said, and it wasn't like he missed a lot of gettable shots. He was just – it was absolutely classical 1A Alex Rance and job. And it's, you know, nice to remember what made him All-Australian.
Yep. What did you – I want to talk about a few of the younger players later. I thought Dusty was trying a bit harder on defence, even if things weren't quite going his way, particularly when he was up forward.
Yeah, well, this is very un-Richmond Tiger talk, like, as we've talked about our three most famous players first up. But I much preferred Dusty's game for the fact that, you know, he had 10 clearances, 6 tackles. His pressure acts were genuinely decent, like, not just better than usual by Dusty standards or sort of okay when we had a bad game. It was a game where lots of guys had high pressure acts and Dusty was right up there. So, you know, it wasn't the all world dominating definite 3 votes that games he had last year, but he was having a red hot crack. And, you know, did all the usual things with score involvements, But I really like the fact that, you know, he's working on both ends. So I much prefer this version of Dustin Martin than the maybe kicked an extra goal but doesn't do so much defensively Dustin Martin.
Yeah, I mean, 6 tackles, 10 clearances, 10 inside 50s. So it's a pretty good day. I did think that Geelong found a bit of an antidote to Dusty monstering people is just to have a super athletic 6'7" dude not even let him have any body contact at all in blitzers, and just to try and jump over the top and spoil the ball before it gets to him.
Yeah, fair enough. But, you know, you can't give a guy who's that good a kick that much of the quality ball. Mm. And, you know, it's funny, when you look at the advanced ratings, the guy who did nothing, like, Dangerfield is not up there. Mm. It is Cochin had a better rated game than he did because Danger, for all his strengths, Sam Menegola, Trent Cochin, Joel Selwood, Mark Bixler, Patrick Dangerfield was the fourth rated team player on the fifth rated player on the ground, despite all his possession, because they're just not as effective.
Mm. Well, yeah,
By the way, Sam Lloyd was after him.
Oh, fun. I did. Do you think there was Richmond supporters at the game, particularly sitting close to the boundary line, who had sort of trauma flashbacks to the final last year and nearly being killed by some of his kicks?
Yeah, when he put that ball out of bounds. God, that was, was good times, good times.
I laughed.
Yeah. But, Nick, I mean, like, I think we're picking on Dangerfield too much because...
It's pretty funny. Yeah,
it is, but in fairness, he is legitimately, by many measures, the best player in the AFL.
Yeah, he's a great player. But I just love what the Richmond pressure has done to him.
Do you know who I can't stand?
Besides Chris Scott?
Yeah, I just cannot
stand... Joel Selwood's incessant tucking?
Yeah, I just cannot stand that they've created an environment where this person who's very good at football has just been incentivized to give himself concussion deliberately by ducking into tackles. And he doesn't mourn her?
Yeah, it's all the time. And I think that the umpires are doing a better job of not giving him free kicks. But
he knows exactly what he's doing. You know, in the fourth one, the game got tighter, he did it more. Like, he knows what he's doing. He doesn't want to do it all the time because he gets hit in the head.
Yeah.
But he made a conscious decision to do it.
Sometimes he does it more than once in the same sort of series of actions. I mean, it's incredible. I think he's literally incapable of not doing it.
I think you've been too generous. I think he knows exactly what he's doing.
Oh yeah, no,
I think he knows how to turn it off, and I think he waits till the really crucial moments to turn that tap on, particularly.
Hmm. Interesting.
And there was interesting. Just I was reading the book about footy analytics. A good book. We'll talk about it in other podcasts. And they're talking about how AFL umpires coaches have consistently denied they ever talk about home field advantage, despite the fact there's clearly a statistical advantage to the West Coast Eagles and other home teams. And they're pointing out, well, why are umpires not discussing this? Because this is a thing. The statistical evidence proves it. So why are they not discussing that Selwood is particularly gaming the system? Like, statistically, if you look, there's every other player in the AFL, and there's Joel Selwood, a massive outlier for getting head-high free kicks. There's another player, Anthony Miles, who gets them quite often. But even he's still sort of, you know, there's very much daylight between him and Selwood. And the fact that he's allowed to get away with it anyway, frustrating.
Mm. Look, finishing off the midfielders, I think we missed a bit of grunt without Prestia, Graham and even Caddy. But you couldn't fault Kane Lambert's work, right?
You never can.
Mm.
What do you think about Sammy Lloyd's game?
I enjoyed it. I've actually been thinking about I just really can't see Sammy playing a final, which makes me sad. But yeah, I think there's going to be a bit of a clean out at the end of the year. But I actually think we're going to keep Sammy.
Yeah, if someone else doesn't want him.
Look, if somebody else really goes up, makes him a decent offer, I think he'll go. But I think I think we're gonna clean out quite a few other fringe players, and yeah, we'll have to keep a few experienced guys for depth.
So there's a couple of points I want to make about Lloydie's game. Firstly, he almost never gets pressure racks.
Mm.
Bit of a problem if you play for Richmond in the midfield.
Yeah.
Secondly, he looked like he was... you would never play another football game at half-time. I think I made that remark to you.
Mm.
But by the end of the game, he was, I think... He was right, like we talked about, he was right next to Dangerfield and was in the top sort of eight players in the ground in a game where there was, you know, the AFL's best and brightest playing.
There was a lot of top-end talent, yeah.
Yeah, and that goal he kicked, he started that chain in the back 30.
Oh, I didn't notice that. Yeah.
And he had two possessions in the chain before he eventually intercepted Dusty's kick, which wasn't actually designed for him.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
And then he converted from 50, which is what Sammy Lloyd does. He is flawed, but as a role player who comes in, you know, that was pretty big delivery. And you know what's about Sammy? He also made a big tackle in the last few minutes. Sammy Lloyd, a little bit clutch.
Mm, I agree. So if you were, I think if I had to pick any Richmond player to kick for my life, I think I'd have. From 55 metres, it'd have to be Shorty. From 45 metres, I reckon you'd have to really seriously think about Sammy Lloyd.
Legend of Sammy Lloyd.
Legend of Sammy Lloyd. I mean, not just because of the Swans goal. Like, I think he's a genuinely good shot for goal.
The statistic back you up, but I also think he's got a touch of magic. Mm. You know who I wouldn't have kicking a set shot for goal for me?
Would it be Jack Higgins?
Yes, he's literally the last person on the Richmond team. I'd rather have Jason Castagna do it.
Yeah, I think whatever, you know, weird, you know, people go in and out of form with their goal kicking. I think for whatever reason, Castagna is back in form.
Yep, kicked a beautiful one.
Yeah, but I think Higgins looked better on his. The snap that he missed was a pretty hard shot, but
he kicked a beautiful goal on the run.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I don't think there's anything wrong with his kicking motion generally, but like unlike Callum Moore, who's always going to be a bit dicey, and yeah, he just hasn't quite got it.
No, I've heard people say who watched the Marlon Juniors that his set shot kicking was never as good as his field kicking, and you can just imagine him in Juniors. Like how many easy shots would have got he got from hard work and roving 25 out? Because you know he gets good shots in the AFL, but he's not the guy you want kicking almost anywhere from set shots at the moment from observed evidence. But also,
we'll see.
Changing topic.
Well, I was going to, on the topic of kicking, what did you think of Connor Menadue's game?
Oh, I was going to ask you about Liam Baker.
We'll get to him next.
It's a hard one, isn't it?
Yeah.
There were a couple of nice moments interspersed with the, oh my God, you had to win that defensive contest and you didn't come close to doing it.
Yeah. Then there was some good positioning, got some intercepts.
There was some moment when you were making, he was on, that he was well on track to have a career high in disposals. He had a purple patch, didn't he?
Yeah.
But overall didn't really, I don't know.
It was just okay. And it was sort of, when you think about all the players that are coming back in the next couple of weeks, I think he's probably, depending on who's back this week and who's rested, I think he'll might get one more go. But yeah.
Yeah. I like Connor.
Mm.
But, I must admit that was the I think I think I made a when I remarked to you that I'm willing to sell half of my shares and half of my stock and condominium you at a discounted rate.
Mm. You mentioned Liam Baker. He had both good and bad moments.
He's got something.
He does. He also got outmarked twice by just sort of normal size AFL players, which sort of set up key contests for Geelong, which is sort of, that's always in the back of my mind, that he's one of the smallest players to play for Richmond in a generation.
So yeah, the thing about all our small forwards is they can sort of, they're all a bit stronger in the air. They all play a bit taller in the air than their listed height.
Yeah, I mean, Castagna almost ridiculously so.
Yeah, exactly. And Rioli's competitive, and if he's getting a run in it, he's superb. And,
and can ruck.
Butts chucks himself in there. But, yeah, unfortunately, Liam plays his height.
Yeah. Which is small.
Yeah. On the other hand, he gets some clever touches.
Like, he does. Actually, and he gets to the right places.
Yeah.
Enough to keep you interested, because that's not a small thing. AFL is faster, the ground's big. Yeah, it's challenging for anyone stepping up a level, and he hasn't looked completely out of place.
And there are different angels. He gets touches in the places where angels fear to tread.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah,
it'd be good if he could slot one of those shots for goal.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Who else?
I'm a little worried about Townsend, I have to say. Like, he's just not quite. It was a wet night, so. It wasn't the best night for contested marking, but yeah, he didn't nail a lot.
Yeah, did kick the goal. It was a nice goal.
Yeah,
but I hear you. I'm sort of I'm maybe emotionally in denial on that issue.
It's look, he fits the team really well, and his bad games are still noticeably better than. Callum Moore's bad games, which are dreadful.
Yeah, the thing about Townsend is, if he only gets six touches, he'll still do a few useful things, even if they might revolve around violence and one snap kick. But they still matter.
I think he does need to, when he's setting a pick for Jack's leads, he does need to be more subtle than facing the wrong way.
Yeah. Did he give away a free kick?
No, he didn't. But I did notice it, and I was thinking, oh, that looks a little bit too much like basketball.
So, I mean, we do actually have to talk about what everyone else does talk about the fact that we did almost lose the game. There is a case, and Dermy made a big play about this after the game, that Ablett didn't turn the corner on the kick and he was afraid of contact. I think maybe he was more shying away from contact because he didn't have the speed to get round anymore. And that's the thing that I notice when I watch Ablett with my eyes, is that you forget about the stat sheet, is he just doesn't get to dangerous places anymore because he's not as fast as he was.
He looks a bit cooked.
Yeah, it's amazing what he's doing at his age.
Yeah.
But I just think that fundamentally Geelong aren't as good as they're necessarily written up, because Gary Ablett is not 2000 and, whatever. I mean, he's had an awesomely long run at the top, but he's slow to get around the corner. Selwood is not what not an all-dominant midfielder anymore.
Dangerfield is not quite as good.
Dangerfield probably lives up to his reputation, but... No,
Tim Kelly was annoyingly good.
Yeah, but they're just not... They're not quite as star-studded as the name recognition implies.
It does feel like another almost year for them.
Yeah, and sadly, annoyingly, the Scott brothers are really good coaches because, Geelong and, their teams almost never go away. But, I'm fundamentally not worried about playing them again.
No, they're on my... I've got a list of teams who I don't mind playing in the finals. Them... Hawthorn, Port Adelaide,
West Coast.
West Coast, yeah. GWS, Melbourne, Collingwood, in that order, are the teams I'd sort of prefer not to face.
Yeah.
VFL?
Yep.
Surprisingly enough, and, well, perhaps not surprising, because the injury list had started to add up, but, yeah, reasonably big loss down at Geelong.
Yeah, we don't like playing at Cadenia Park.
No, no. Thankfully, it's the seniors don't have to play there for the foreseeable future.
Nick, we do have to correct something at the start.
Yeah,
is I posted something on Twitter about Noah Bolter's guns.
Yeah,
And how annoying they are because they're absolutely superb. Actually, it's not just the guns; it's really his tries. They're beautiful. But someone said that that was clearly from Andy, which is true because Nick's not fussed about it. But in fairness, Nick, it was actually you who pointed it out to me in the first place.
Yeah, true.
It's just they are universally. It's hard for a man to look at Noah Bolter's arm definition and not be jealous.
Yeah, and as a teenager, he's just going to be ridiculous as he grows up. Well, yeah.
It's going to be hard to avoid the
Alex Rantz comparisons.
I don't know what it says about us that we, the Richmond VFL key position player we like the most, probably had the worst arm definition of any Richmond player in the generation.
Still too soon. I honestly don't think Noah Bolter is that far away. Like he's really winning a lot of football for a key position player.
Yeah, and you could see yourself talking yourself into him, but you just don't know which thing that Noah Bolter is going to turn up in the four quarters of football and the seniors that you give him.
Yeah, because he's not consistent across the VFL yet. AFL's a really big step up, and part of the reason why our team works so well is that everyone knows where to go and their place in the structure, and yeah, that's maybe not him at this stage.
So is there any chance that Milesy will get a game this week to, you know, rest amid not have to send them up to the Gold Coast, do you reckon?
Yeah, I think it's possible.
29 disposals, 10 clearances.
Yeah, he played really well, as always. I think it's a chance. I don't know. Because look, the noise start of the week saying we're not going to rest players. Why wouldn't we? Like I would honestly have a 3 week treat this like a glorified preseason and rest players over each of the 3 weeks. Now that we are locked into a home final in week one of the finals.
Well, firstly, you're not going to say you're going to rest them because it'll be Gold Coast would advertise that.
They would use it as bulletin board material.
Exactly, but I don't think Dimmer rest players. I think the closest he's come is giving Soldo games in the middle of last year, but I think there was a genuine tactical intent there. Had it gone well enough that might have been our plan A. We've observed him for a long time. I just don't think he's, and I don't know this definitively, but, you know, I've heard he backs his players in. So I'd be pleased, and I'm very much of the resting school, love Greg Popovich. So I'd love it if he did, but I'll be pleasantly surprised if he doesn't.
I reckon, I wouldn't be, maybe a couple of guys. Because I did think towards the end of the game, the effect of the Collingwood game was showing a bit.
And I don't think you can actually rest all players. Like, I don't believe that Gold Coast are so bad that if we rest our top five players, would still win. Like, AFL teams are good.
I do. They're pretty terrible.
Really?
Yeah.
It's a philosophical debate because I don't think it'll happen. But I'd be definitely all in. Cochin's played every game.
Yeah.
He's a direct swap for Miles.
He plays a really physical game.
He does indeed. That would be give Miles. I mean, why keep Miles on the list? You know, make him take the hits for a week. with the greatest respect to Milesy, who I love. Mm. Yeah, anyway, so back to VFL performances. Yeah, Patrick Nash, I guess Patrick Nash is one of those guys who's going to do better on a winning team.
Yeah, and maybe it was unrealistic to expect him to keep playing as well as he has, but yeah, it was a bit of a step back.
It was still all right, though, relative to his...
Yeah, still all
right. It would be above his season average.
Yeah. I was...
17 possessions.
I was impressed. Callum Coleman-Jones getting 18 disposals playing against Zach Smith, who, you know, who is an enormous athletic human being. He's played more than 100 games of AFL football. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Ryan Garthwaite was okay.
Yep, as always.
He would be a smoky, I think, to play if Richmond were resting. You know, that was... If you wanted to rest Rance, give Garthwaite a game. Not the craziest idea.
No.
And Ivan Soldo, okay.
Yeah, I really think he's got to play a game at some point. Like, I don't think they're going to go crazy. I'd be surprised if Basher plays this week. I think if he's only been up to a half of VFL, I think a whole game of AFL maybe is a bit much.
Yeah, particularly a travel, because when they, you know, they've got to get back on the plane and deal with you know, the rehabbing the injury a bit harder. But he did have 15 possessions and a half, so he was pretty slick.
Yeah. But, oh yeah. He played well, but yeah, I think he's a bit far away.
Fair enough.
Yeah, and the other guys, you know, that, you know, Graham back at training, Prestia apparently pretty good, Broad, Conker, a chance to play VFL. Yeah, there's a lot of guys to come back in.
There is indeed.
Mm.
Gold Coast.
I actually got depressed doing... I didn't do a lot of research on Gold Coast because we're literally 65-point favourites to win.
Yeah. They used to have a good key position player playing for them. What was his name? You know, he was drafted after Reece Conker. I think we should, you know, has the media done any stories about him?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'll do some research. I've always liked the Suns' key position players, and none of them are going to play this week.
Yeah. Okay.
So I like, you know, I went to that dreadful Suns game up in Cairns that we lost, and I was quite impressed by Rory Thompson. Like, he's Stephen May is a very good player. 2 meter Peter, Tom Lynch. Yeah, they're all out. their leading goal kicker is literally Alex Sexton, who I'm pretty certain you've never spent more than... have you ever heard of him before?
No.
So, can I just do a little test for you? I'm going to read out a couple of names, and you have to tell me, are they Suns senior players or Richmond VFL players?
Oh, this is so unfair, because I've literally not watched the Suns game all year.
Okay.
Okay, go on.
Harry Conway.
Son?
Richmond VFL.
Yeah.
Brenton Credlin.
Richmond VFL.
Yeah, got that right. Jacob Heron.
Son?
Yeah, good one.
Charlie. Well, it was a 50-50 chance.
Charlie Thompson.
Oh, definitely. Oh, no. He's Richmond VFL.
Yeah.
It's good football name, by Charlie. He should be better at football. Should be on the NFL list.
Yeah, it is a good name. Will Powell.
Son?
Yeah. Well, see, you got most of them right.
Well, you're your son.
Yeah, that's true. Jacob Dawson.
No, I don't know.
Son. But, like, some of these guys, like Jacob Dawson is a second-year Suns Academy player. Who's 5'11"? You could not be a more anonymous senior AFL footballer. Like, I'd imagine he could go to any nightclub in Melbourne and not be recognised.
He'd still do all right because he's probably got a good body. But the Suns, I've learned something from football, like watching the Suns, and to a lesser extent, the Richmond 2017 team. Like, you sort of, you know, there's a, you know, you basically think in football, you know, that coaching matters and intangibles matter. Mm-hmm. But, like, you sort of, you do that in the framework with, in most AFL teams, with, there's a basic level of competence, so mm-hmm. then there's sort of a variance within. And the Suns have been so bad mm-hmm. for what, with what is incredible raw material. It's just, it goes to show, like, intangibles are even more important than I realised mm-hmm. in AFL.
I know. Jared Witz is quite good.
Anyway, fortunately, Nick, there is still reason to care about this game because we have good reasons to hate the Suns.
It's quite true, actually. They owe us a couple of cheapies.
Yeah. I want to crush them. I want to destroy them for the fake AFL team that they are. They've been gifted with everything and squandered it.
Mm.
And, yeah, I think we should remind them what it's like, what a real football team looks like.
Mm.
And, by the way, we paid for the Suns, so.
Yeah. Normally I try and work through, well, how do we lose a game? I just can't. I literally can't see us losing it. I can see us playing a bit bruise-free footy, maybe switching off in the last quarter, maybe farting around with it too much. I just can't see us losing it.
Yeah, this is one of the... This would be mentally challenging if you're a Richmond player, this game, to get yourself up.
Yeah. I do like Will Brody. I wouldn't mind guys getting in. He's not out of contract, sadly, for another 2 years.
that would be quite long-term planning.
Right. Well, he's apparently... Well, we were always going to get Prestius, but apparently of the players who were available with our... who would have been available with our draft pick, he was the one. He looks really good. Well, it just doesn't matter anymore.
No. All right.
I'm Nick.
I'm Andy.
We're Richmond Tiger Talk.